Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Bird's Head, and this is episode 7. It was written by Mick Swan, who is also our GM, and the recap will be given by Thomas McKeon. This game is just getting scarier and scarier, but the players are ready, so let's begin our journey into the darkness. Tom?
Thanks, Tom. So when we woke up the next morning in the abandoned village, we as a group decided to send Chime and the little girl back to the village that we came from. As a group, we then decided that we were going to make our way up into the mountains in an attempt to possibly find the tribe that left the village. We then also discussed our plans on kind of rerouting after we get to the mountains if we didn't find anybody. As we continued moving up into the jungles, we came upon a bridge. It was old and rickety. It seemed as if this was a well-used and well-maintained bridge by the village. We crossed. No one was lost, but there were several injuries of the groinal area, and we actually lost one of our boxes, some of our equipment. But we're fine. We continued moving forward. We decided to spend the night in kind of a little grotto. And as night fell, I, Arthur Morton, decided to line the camp with twine and cans filled with rocks. That night, I heard a can rattle. And when I awoke, I didn't find anything out of the ordinary, but a tree that hadn't been there before. I alerted the others. We awoke, and that's when Dr. White decided to approach the tree out of biological curiosity. He took out his knife, wanting to peel bark off of the tree, and instead awoke what appears to be a man-eating tree. The last hour of our last scenario was us fighting with said tree. We are currently in the middle of it. Dr. Damien has begun dumping gasoline on the tree. Dr. Jack has, I think he's just broken from his insanity. And the tree is now attacking me, Dr. Sharon, Dr. White, and PJ.
Actually, I'm on the ground still.
Who was the fourth?
I was shooting wildly into the air.
Who was the fourth person? Was it Dr. Damien then who was being attacked? There were four of us.
Yeah, there were four of us, and one of us was running to go dump gas on the tree.
That was Damien. Right.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. But well, it was Sharon's turn when we last ended.
Yeah, so I was immediately, and I had my machete out, so I was going to try to hack at the tree again, since I'm kind of in close range at this point. I want to make sure, I want to see if I can get like another one of those arms off like I did last time.
As I recall that Arthur has also pointed out that if you guys can capture this thing, it might be worth $1 million when you get back to civilization.
Fuck catching this thing! It's trying to kill us!
A dead specimen will still be worth money.
Which I completely missed this time to actually hit it, so it doesn't matter.
And okay, I'm grappled with it.
Oh yes, that's right. Yes, well, it's going to attempt to attack Dr. Chase.
Oh dear.
With a 31, I'll let you have a dodge.
Okay. Which I actually don't make.
Oops.
I'm gonna die.
So that's 3 damage.
Wonderful.
It's just kind of clipped you, I think. Oh dear. Dr. White. Dr. White. Well, as we're still at the kind of at the end of that round at the moment, it's tentacle come branch, whatever this thing is, this grey appendage is in the process of wrapping itself around.
Yep.
So it's kind of, and as it wraps itself around you, it's kind of slowly turning you round and pulling you towards it.
Okay.
How much longer before that gas gets over here?
Its tentacle is compressing your arms. You can't possibly raise your weapon while you're gripped in this manner.
Okay.
You can't set it on fire if it's got Dr. White pulled close to it.
Do what you need. I'll try and survive this.
You have your
Dr. Morton.
I suppose I'm going to load another round into my rifle, aim and fire.
Okay. Roll for that, please.
No problemo, boss. I got a 45, which is not a hard, but it's definitely a pass.
Okay, roll for damage.
All right. It's a 1d8 and a 1d6, and what else? A plus 2. So that is 13 damage.
13
damage. Wow.
God, I still can't get used to these bloody dice. What does that mean, that symbol?
The other side? It means the best or worst possible.
Okay. Sorry, what was your damage again? I got sidetracked by my dice.
I got a, 13? I had 11 plus 2. So
13.
Okay. You blow a reasonable sized chunk off of it. It doesn't seem to affect it much, but a big chunk comes off the side of it.
It's still
kind of writhing.
Does it have blood, or is it a plant? Does it just bark come off of it?
Does it look noticeably weaker?
I mean, there's a sort of almost kind of liquidy and sinewy core. It's very much like celery inside of it.
Yeah.
I suppose would be the nearest analog. Plant matter is what it looks like.
So it looks like xylem or phloem. It doesn't look like meat or anything.
No. It definitely looks vegetable in origin.
What the hell is this thing?
Pijo.
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to make a little roll here. No, you're still slightly preoccupied.
Okay. Well, as the last thing I remember is, since I was backing up on my, trying to get away from it, I was hoping to find a machete. In which case I'm hoping to attack it, but like you said, I'm still out of my mind.
Do you have a machete?
No, I'm hoping there's just one next to a tent that I'm backing up towards.
My question is, does Sharon still have hold of her machete? She got dinged there by that tentacle. She got smacked.
Make a luck roll.
Nope, 100.
Do you want me to make a luck roll?
I would like you to make a luck roll, please, but you'll need a hard or better.
Okay. I got a 19, which is a hard.
Okay. You do indeed find, by one of the packs, as you're crawling backwards, you find a machete.
Okay. It's my intention on the next round to run screaming at the thing, swinging at it with my machete.
Okay.
I just hope that the thing that I'm running at is not one of the other players.
Oh, God.
Because I'm under the red mist.
Jack. Will you make a listen roll, please?
Yes. Almost a heart.
Okay. You can hear from where you are. You've no idea where you are in the jungle, but you can very clearly hear the sound of commotion, which you presume to be back at the camp.
I'm going to try to gather my wits and slowly walk back towards the camp.
Okay. It is pitch black. And you're in the undergrowth. It will take you a couple of rounds to get back there because you've no idea where you are. You can't see anything.
Yeah, sure. And I don't want to step on anything either.
No. Who knows what's in the jungle at night? It could be anything. All manner of creepy crawlies and long-legged beasties. Dr. Donovan?
Yes.
When we last left you, you were contemplating the immolation of the vegetation.
But now, how close has Dr. White been pulled to the creature?
He's currently he's about 5 feet away from it.
Mm.
The tentacle things are quite long.
Perhaps I will set the gas down within a reasonable distance, because I can't set that on fire and immolate Dr. White as well, and draw my hunting knife and perhaps try to cut him free.
Okay. It'll probably take you another round to get to the tree.
I understand. I will yell out loud, "I can't burn it. Dr. White will go up with it."
In the meantime, a number of the bearers are kind of appearing from they've been roused from their sleep by the noise, but with the exception of Wepu, who has picked up a machete and is currently heading towards Dr. White, the other bearers are sort of hanging back a bit, but they're just sort of standing there and looking at each other, and they're not entirely sure that they want to get involved with this. They look a bit scared, really. So,
I don't blame them.
Next round. We shall start with Dr. Chase again.
You have effectively
been disarmed by this.
Right. Now is a good time to back up and get at a safe distance, maybe try to steady my rifle at it.
Okay. Give me a dexterity roll, please.
I make it.
Okay.
Just barely, but I do make it. Oh, no.
It gets a 98.
Oh, thank God.
So I'm going to say it just kind of slaps down at your machete rather than you.
Yeah.
It slaps the machete away into the undergrowth.
I'm going to just back away now, quickly.
Dr. White.
I'm going to try and get out.
Okay, yeah, make a strength roll.
I fail.
Okay.
I got 43 out of 40. Is there any way I can spend luck to get out of this?
No, because you're in combat.
Oh yeah.
Okay, it drags you. I mean, you're putting up some resistance. I mean, you're not going willingly, but it still it manages to drag you another 3 feet. So you're only a couple of feet away from it.
Okay.
I'm going to skip to Dr. Donovan because he was coming in to attempt to save Dr. White.
Attempt, yes.
Yes. Right. What are you? You're using a hunting knife, you said.
I have a hunting knife. Yes. Standard hunting knife.
Okay.
Try to go and grab the, if I can, as close to him as possible. Grab the tentacle to try to saw through it.
Okay. Make a brawl roll, please.
Brawl. Finally, that was okay. No, that is not a pass.
It's not a pass. Okay.
No.
Meanwhile, as you approach the creature, it sort of lashes out at you with its tentacles. It doesn't connect, mm-hmm. but it sort of flicks its things in the air around you. Dr. Morton.
Yes, sir. I'm going to slowly back up. I'm going to kind of slide my feet on the ground so that I don't trip. But I'm going to load another round into the rifle. I've got 10 more in the rifle itself, and then I got to go get ammo. But I'm going to fire again.
Okay.
And pop, 14.
Ooh. Oh, hang on. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong thing. That's better. That seems to really do something that time.
Okay.
Sort of for a moment, it crumples and just sort of the thrashing stops for a second. And it's now it's moving a little more slowly than it was before.
It's vital.
So that's when I stop moving backwards, and I shoot to literally everyone in the group. Shoot it! Just keep shooting it.
I'm working on it.
All right. Yeah, I did 10 damage, but bleep. That's about it.
Okay, Pijo.
Okay, I spring to my feet, I leap into the air, swinging my machete, and I scream, "Remember the Alamo!" And I'm going to hit this.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm insane at this point. I'm just completely out of my mind, screaming and yelling at this thing and swinging at it. I hope I'm
go
swinging
on.
At it.
Roll.
10.
Holy shit!
Okay, roll for damage.
How much is the damage for machete?
It's 1d6 plus damage bonus, I believe.
See, my thing over here says 1d. Oh, it says 1d8 plus a d8. No. Yeah.
Damage bonus.
That's what it says. 1d8 plus damage bonus.
And I have totally the wrong amount for my machete.
Let's see. Do I have a damage bonus? I do not. So I did 5 damage.
5 damage.
But I'm hacking at it with complete disregard for my own safety. And I'm screaming stuff like, "Die, you Spanish dog."
It's collapsing. It's becoming limp and collapsing. Some of its tentacles have stopped moving. It looks like possibly whatever the fluid was that was filling it started leaking out. So it started sort of crumpling.
It's dying.
Oh.
ha, ha, the Spanish ain't going to win this time, damn it.
However, it does still manage to do one thing. And as though somehow trying to save itself, it pulls Dr. White further towards itself, the top of it having collapsed, has sort of craned down, and you see this awful many-toothed mouth poised above him as it drags him slowly, painfully slowly, towards this orifice. I'm going to need Hack another it. Strength roll from Dr. White.
Okay, come on! No. Got a 41 out of 40.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Someone help him!
Can you make a sanity roll, please?
yeah. Why could I passed my sanity.
Okay. I'm still going to need you to lose one sanity point for that. This creature, this horrible thing, hoists you up and begins to sort of draw you down inside itself, as though you're being swallowed alive. And at the moment, it has you gripped roughly about elbow level, and your shoulders are now inside this thing. And it's disgusting. There's just this horrible, putrid, sickly sweet smell, like rotten fruit. And you can feel it pulsing weakly around you.
You're being eaten by celery.
In Papua New Guinea, celery eats you!
So, are you saying that his feet, legs, and lower body is inside of it?
No. His
shoulders
sort of
are.
Brought him up upside down. His head and his shoulders. His head and shoulders are currently...
But not his knees and toes.
Have disappeared into the end of this thing where this horrible orifice was.
We should probably try to pull him out.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Is the thing on the ground, or is it still kind of like standing?
It's not as tall as it was. It started collapsing. It's missing a number of tentacles. It has large chunks of its central mass, its body, if you will, its trunk, have been either blown away or hacked away.
Can we hack the tentacle that's pulling him?
Yes.
Please. You can try, yes.
I was trying.
Okay.
I was going to try to shoot the tentacle that was holding him.
I didn't think of that.
And at this point, Wepu has now reached the thing as well, with his machete out.
Am I coming out of my fugue at this point?
You are. You are sort of semi-aware at this point. You're still... You're still in that mindset of intense rage, but you can just about work out what you are actually attacking at this point.
Okay. It's trying to eat Dr. White.
Yeah, we know.
Well, I should be right close by. I certainly want to try to yank him out.
Hopefully it hasn't bitten off his head.
Okay. Dr. Chase.
I'm going to try to shoulder my shotgun now that I'm some decent distance away and hit the tentacle that's got him.
Ooh, with a shotgun?
33 out of 35. So I manage it. The question is, how did I even manage to do anything? I did 5 damage, so.
Oh. It doesn't really seem to have much effect. The shotgun pellets just sort of stick into it.
Well, I tried. You're going to hack it.
Dr. Morton.
I'm going to do load another round, fire right where I blew that big old chunk out.
Okay. Roll to hit, please.
I got a 60. It's still a pass.
Okay. Roll for damage.
8. 12. 14.
There's a strange gurgling sound, and for a moment, the tentacles of this thing thrash around wildly.
It's actually tasted, Dr. White.
Before it just...
now it has a taste really, for him.
I mean, it doesn't really fall or collapse. It just stops. Most of the tentacles are hanging limp. The upper half of Dr. White is sort of hanging out of the end of this thing. And Dr. White, I'm going to need a constitution roll from you.
Okay. I fail.
You have taken 2 points of damage. There's a really horrible burning sensation over your face, your neck, your arms. Like you've been scalded with something, but it's weird. It's a burning sensation, but at the same time, you feel cold. It's a horrible and unnerving sensation, and you at this point now you're fighting to breathe. You're not only because there's air. There are holes in this thing. People have chopped holes in it. You can see the faint flickering lights of the campfire lower down in inside this thing. You can see that there are holes there, but the pressure on your chest is such that you're fighting to get the air into your lungs at this point.
Okay.
Someone help him.
You're
Jesus
starting
Christ.
To feel a little lightheaded.
Makes total sense.
To the rest of you, however, and I'm going to say at this point, Jack has arrived back at the camp, looking very much the worse for wear. And
I have an idea. Can I throw it at you?
Yep, go on. Yep.
So as I was walking back towards camp, I'm trying to recover like what's going on, what happened, why did I run? And the adrenaline has flipped from fight or flight. So clearly I flew, and now I'm feeling a rage. So as I am getting closer and closer, as I see Dr. White's legs dangling out from the top of this creature thing, I'm going to try and run and like do like a one-step leap and try to grab onto his legs to try and yank him down.
Okay.
You can say no.
No, I'm just trying to decide whether to do that as a brawl, as a maneuver.
Super or, epic.
I'm going to say do a dexterity roll.
Dex, okay.
Yeah.
Dreaded dex roll. Ooh, 17.
Nice. Okay.
You manage to. I mean, you pull off a pretty good leap and bound, and you grab his legs. But he's held tight. I mean, something. It's like whatever it is. It's even though it doesn't seem to be moving, something's got him.
Okay.
Some mechanism has definitely gripped him.
Yeah.
So make a strength roll.
That is also a pass, 28 out of 50.
That's nice. Good enough. You start to pull him out. He's not making much progress, but you can feel it sort of giving.
A little bit of a give, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just kind of like keep like sort of bouncing like.
Okay. Kind of. Okay. What's everyone else doing?
I'm gonna try to run over and help pull him out if I can.
I'm still hacking at the thing.
Yeah.
Watch my feet.
Have fun hacking at that.
Is Pijo still in a kind of insane state?
I'm coming out of it.
He's coming out of it. Yeah. He's not. He's not as crazed as he was. Minutes ago, but you get the impression that it's best to let him sort of work through this rather than trying to stop him. Okay. He's got a very quite a frightening look on his face.
Well, I'll let him do that, but I'm grinning from ear to ear as I still have the rifle in my hand and I'm approaching the what I imagine is the corpse. Of what I am now going to be calling the Yatevo, which is a man-eating tree.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you get closer, it's kind of weird. I mean, it looks just like vegetation. But on closer inspection, the outer layer of the tree, which sort of looks strangely shiny, like almost like rubber. It feels more like metal. It's cold. Huh. It's very resilient. I mean, the inside, as I say, the inside of it is like celery.
How big is it? Like how tall? Now that we're
it's about 15 or 16 feet.
Damn.
If I were to kind of touch it and kind of feel it, how heavy would I imagine this thing is?
It's quite heavy. Yeah, you would think it's quite heavy. I mean, it's comparable in weight probably to a similar sized tree.
So a ton easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's not you know, it's not like bamboo. It doesn't feel like it feels quite solid.
Okay.
It could be the most of that weight. I mean, a certain amount of that weight is going to be you know, water mass, well, fluid mass, but certainly the exterior of it looks quite tough, as though that in itself probably weighs a lot. I mean, for argument's sake, let's call it the bark.
Sure.
Although it's
I'm going to be calling it a man-eating tree anyway, so. Okay. So at this point, it's not standing upright anymore. It's kind of on the ground at this point. Like it's
well, at this point, yeah. At this point, it's more that the lower extremities have spread out a little, and the lowest, say, 4 or 5 feet is still upright, but the rest of it has sort of collapsed onto the ground. And at one end, amidst this splayed mass of tentacles, that's where Jack is pulling Dr. White out from the end of it, along with Dr. Chase, who's now joined in this effort to extract him.
Should I roll strength to help him out, or?
Yes, make a strength roll.
Which I definitely do make.
Okay, yeah, you're making decent progress. I'll say it's going to take you another round to fully extract him.
Holding up in there, all right?
Yes. It burns, it burns.
It burns.
It burns.
I know, we're trying.
The smell around this thing is absolutely disgusting as well.
I turn to Dr. Damien, and I have this big shit-eating grin on my face.
I return it.
Yep, and I'm gonna wait until Dr. White is fully out of the mouth.
Oh, which... just lost Jeff.
No.
Oh dear.
Shall we wait for Jeff?
Yeah. I think we should, because he's involved in
he's right in the middle of it.
The extraction of Dr. White.
The extraction of Dr. White. That sounds like the name of a porno. You realize that?
The end of a porno.
A really terrible porno.
I don't know. That could be.
It sounds more like a dentist thing. The extraction of Dr. White.
Maybe.
Yes, it sounds like a cartoon explaining dentistry to young children.
Maybe it's weird dental porn.
One that was sampled on the, yeah.
Like in,
There's Jeff. Hey!
We were waiting for you, Jeff.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Just completely crashed.
We were discussing the extraction of Dr. White as dental porn.
Dr. White does sound like the name of a dentist, to be fair.
You could consider the scene from The Little Shop of Horrors with the dentist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Son, be a dentist.
So, Nick, is Dr. White kind of removed from the mouth?
He is with some effort. He is removed. On removing him from the mouth. You can see that there are sort of what appeared to be teeth look more like thorns.
Perfect.
Big white thorns. Two rows of them lining a sort of oval orifice right at the top of this thing. I mean, if it was a tree trunk, it would look very much like the top of a trunk had been chopped off.
There were teeth.
Hmm. Yes.
All right.
Can I extract one of the thorns?
You can attempt to. Yeah.
What would that be?
Thornectomy.
Yes.
Thornectomy.
You'd need some strength to do it. You'd need something to grip it with as well, like some pliers or something.
Well, I've got my hands and I've got a hunting knife. So I can try.
Give it a go.
Well, I rolled a 57, so I definitely did.
Yeah, you managed to sort of gouge one of them out with your hunting knife. It takes quite an effort to get it out. It's kind of odd. It feels slightly waxy. Again, like the outside of the thing, it's unusually cold. I mean, you're in the jungle. Touching something cold is an unfamiliar sensation in the jungle. It doesn't look like plant material. It looks like ivory or some, more like some sort of cheap synthetic substance designed to look like ivory.
But it's not a biological material, even though it came from a living thing.
It appears to be. What you assume that it must in some way be a biological material. I mean, it's come from this thing that's clearly a living thing.
Bone and ivory are biological materials too, so.
Well, it could be enamel, so maybe it is a tooth.
It probably is a tooth.
Well, I mean, you could consider too that roses have thorns on them, and they're extremely sharp and hard. So
maybe it's keratin.
It's just a way that it's produced.
Well,
Dr. White, it's difficult for you to focus on this because you're in absolute agony.
I'm going to remove my Bowie knife. I'm going to turn to Repu. I'm going to point to the top part, the head. And I'm going to say, we're taking that.
He looks at you a little askance and says, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, why is that? You don't seem to understand. This could make us a lot of money if we were to take this head.
Do any of you locals even know what the hell this thing is?
No, but turns it on. Clearly says, an undiscovered species.
They want to know if any of you know what this is, and they're all holding up their hands and just in a variety of dialects. Are essentially fucked if I know. They don't want it. They clearly don't. You don't need a psychology role to know. They don't want to know what this thing is.
Well,
they're terrified.
Doesn't matter because it's dead.
Well,
and we're taking
that's what makes a scientist.
You know,
it's
dead. A tree has just walked into their camp and tried to eat someone.
Any legends that have anything to do with this?
Nope.
Okay.
All anyone knows is you don't go up here.
Well, perhaps now we know why. Now we also know what to look for. Any silver trees?
Ignore the silver trees. Gotcha.
How do you feel, Dr. White?
You okay?
Burns it.
Well, we better get you washed off.
Yeah, somebody get some water on him, something.
I turn to Dr. Chase and I say, first, and I hold out my hand for the machete. I say, machete would be very nice right now.
Okay, so you know why go looking for my machete.
Here, use mine. Toss mine.
Pocketing my tree tooth as I go.
I take it, and I lean down, and I just begin whacking off the top part. Tentacles, teeth, everything.
Okay. It's hard going. I mean, the bits that haven't already been damaged, it takes several blows to get through the outer crust. Bark, whatever you want to call it.
Of this thing. Maybe have an axe with us?
Or a saw?
Yeah, there is an axe. There's a wood axe.
try that.
Probably work better than
but again, you encounter the same problem. The material, the outer material of this thing is just incredibly resilient.
Is it impossible to cut through it, or will it just take me a while?
Oh no, it will just take you a while.
Well, then we're gonna keep going. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Well, does anybody have a camera? We could take pictures of it.
Pictures. And I hold up a tentacle. Say you can't fake this.
I should have actually probably.
Okay, well, just take the tentacle. Why don't you? Instead of the whole head.
You take the whole thing because it fetches a bigger price.
Well, okay.
Cutting.
I'll go back to the campfire, get the axe, and help.
How are you going to keep it from rotting over the next 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, and that's why we have mason jars for the tentacles. We bring back the head in whatever state it is, and then we bring back the tentacles or pieces and bits in these mason jars that I fill with alcohol.
Okay. Well, you do that. I'm going to try to see if I can help Dr. White get cleaned up. Is there any, like, lake water or anything nearby? Anything I can use to wipe him off with?
Well, you've got canteens of water. And there is a first aid kit. There are sort of gauzes and got various bits of cloth that you can find.
All right. Is there like slime sticking to him, or is he just burned?
There's some stuff. There's like a fine layer of this almost mucus-like material attached to his face, his scalp, his ears. Part peel it off, part wipe it off. And from wiping all this stuff off, it's not burning you, you can feel a quite an unpleasant tingling sensation in your fingers. And even the smell is starting to your nose feels oddly sensitized from the smell as though it is having some sort of reaction.
Someone get water. I'm gonna see if I can get like a big bucket and one of the big like tankards that they have maybe. And
it's all of our drinking water, but
there's probably no bucket. There might be a pail.
Yeah. Well, something that I can use to collect water of any sort. I'm immediately first going to look for any natural source of water to clean them off with. I'm not going to use our drinking water unless I have to.
I mean, for your part, Dr. White, your vision is blurred. Your nose and your throat feel red raw. Your ears are ringing. You've gone the color of a cooked lobster. It's bright red.
Okay.
And there's no indication that it's still damaging you. Just it's as though it's just stimulated your nerve endings.
It's like poison ivy sap.
Yeah, you just feel just red raw.
Wonderful. Not there. Sorry.
Could we? Well,
you have been severely exfoliated.
I'm not feeling so good right now.
I was just thinking, if we had enough baking soda, you could make a paste out of the baking soda and put it on him. If there's any acid, residual acid, it'll counteract the acid.
Maybe Wepu knows something. Maybe there's a plant in here that can help.
Maybe there's something local knowledge and medicinal herbs or something.
There are herbs you can put on burns and insect bites, but I couldn't find anything in the dark.
Right. Gotta wait until morning. Just try to wipe it off with some towels and stuff.
I'm doing that. It's not helping. Do we have like anything that could be used as an anti-itch agent or an antihistamine? Anything that can stop,
There are things in the film. Once you've got them cleaned up, you can you could make a first aid roll.
I'll try.
Which, like any first aid roll, would at least sort of.
I got a 17. I did get it.
Okay, well, I mean, you clean him up, you give him an antihistamine, you apply just some witch hazel or just, you know, a basic unguent. Dr. White, you get one hit point back, obviously, from successful first aid. But, I mean, you still... you still feel pretty awful. You feel like a man who's just been swallowed by a giant man-eating tree. That's how you feel.
Head first.
You think, I just need some rest. I should feel better in the morning.
No more messing with trees, Dr. White.
Yeah, let's not. We need to be more careful. If apparently trees are able to locomote, grab people, and try to eat them, then we need to be a lot more careful going in. More careful than I thought.
Well, it's just like some of those stories.
Perhaps we should leave.
Nah.
We have a job to do here. Do you really think they're just going to let us leave?
I mean, we have what we've come for, which is essentially an unexplained, unseen, unknown creature that no one else has discovered. This could put Miskatonic not only on the map nationally, but internationally, period, end for all time. It's uncovered.
It's not on the map because there ain't no map. That's why we're actually here.
Pijo has to finish the map. I have to find something. The rest of everybody else has to find something. So just because you got what you wanted doesn't mean we can leave.
You have witnesses. We'll all testify that we fought off the giant tree monster. We can always lead an expedition back here again sometime and try to capture one of those things. Where there's one, there's more.
There's got to be.
I smile. I say, you know, you're right. We'll head up the mountain, we'll map the surrounding area, who knows what we'll find.
Well, my guess is we'll find more of those things. You just got to watch out for them.
We head up, map the surrounding area, maybe leave.
Well, we're still looking for that tribe.
True. If we find that tribe, maybe. You don't suppose, and I think back, you don't suppose maybe they went to go find that albino tribe. That albino tribe has anything to do with this, do you?
I don't think that the tribes go looking for one another. I'm still banking on the idea that they're doing some ritual up here.
Maybe. Or maybe they are.
They were running from something. I don't think they were running from the man-eating trees either.
Well, something happened to them. And let's go find likely bet is if they came across something that they didn't know how to deal with, they're going to probably find some sort of shelter. I bet they have some sort of shelter area they probably ran to.
Well, we can speculate all day. Let's get moving. Once
the sun comes up.
I have a question, Mick.
Yep.
As Dr. Martin is dismantling this tree, I'm curious to check the roots and all. Is it does it appear to be like rooted in the ground and we just didn't notice this particular tree when we came in this spot? Or does it appear to have like mobility?
Well, that's the strange thing. It, at the base of the tree, it sort of divides into three, for want of a better word, roots. Each of which divides again into these big, flat pads. which don't go into the ground.
Don't go in, okay.
And they don't look like they would go into the ground. They look not unlike similar, there are smaller, similar things on the, what we've been calling the tentacles. Which from a distance would look very much like leaves.
Like gripper pads is what these.
Yes, yeah.
Like on a squid.
Like feet.
Interesting.
So what I was getting at was that we need to be careful that if we spend another night here, that these things could come at us, and there might be more than one.
Actually, there's something else to look for. Is there a path that it followed coming?
Good
to the
point.
Yeah. How did it get to us?
That would have definitely crashed in the undergrowth as it came through.
You
it's
really
huge.
Tell.
There's no way it couldn't have.
Okay. We'll check in the morning.
Did it make any sounds when it was either attacking us or we were bothering it?
Other than the sound of it thrashing around.
But no vocal.
No, there was a kind of sort of low gurgling sound just as it collapsed, as you killed it.
It doesn't look like it has any kind of vocal cords of any kind.
No, it didn't. It didn't make any.
Ask Dr. White. He saw inside it. Maybe he can tell you.
It's horrible in there.
I think Dr. White needs to rest because he is. I'm hoping that stuff doesn't permanently scar his flesh. Well, what a story you'll have to tell your kids.
Dueling scars.
Yes.
That's if he doesn't have anaphylactic shock happen. I mean, I gave him some antihistamine.
Well, that would have probably already happened. I thought all them Pulp Fiction stories was Pulp Fiction. Here we got Main Tree. What was it that you called it, Arthur?
It's called a Yatevo.
Yatevo
Manning Tree. It's in C by, oh my god, who wrote Manning Tree? The book is by, it's either Land and Sea or Sea or Land. It's by Buell.
Look at that.
1886.
Would you look at that?
Yeah. Yatevo, written by Buell in a book. I think it's like 1896 or 1890 or 1886, something like that. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, that's it. Yatevo.
Read about that.
River's Point.
They were in my garden until recently, and I cleared it out.
You had Yatevos in your garden?
Oh, I swear. It was like a scene from Avatar.
You probably know I used to grow carnivorous plants, but there's nothing that big. But there's now speculation that they need to include a lot of the berry vines.
Brambles.
The brambles, because... Yes. They actually catch animals and ensnare them, and the animal dies and rots underneath the plant. And it's a form of carnivorism.
Oh, no.
That's true.
That's pleasant.
You have to pull sheep, and you have to cut sheep and lambs out of the bramble up here all the time.
A dog trapping vine, whatever it's called in the United States.
Yeah. I'm surprised that we came across the frickin', what is it, the Madagascar tree or the Nubia tree or something like that? I can't remember.
Yeah, the Yatevo, the man-eating tree.
All right, let's continue.
Let us continue.
Just to clarify, was that in-game or out-of-game?
That was all out-of-game.
Out-of-game, okay.
I will say Yatevo a whole lot in-game, so that way we can go through that whole thing again. But.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you now, no one in the sleep tonight. You're all wide awake.
Yeah.
Wired. Frightened. Bearers are terrified.
exhilarated.
By the time the sun comes up, it's possible to get a better look at the situation. Two things become apparent at this point. One of them is that you've now got a much better idea of what this thing looks like. And mm-hmm. the other is that, as best you can tell, a couple of the bearers, at least two of them, have disappeared.
They ran away.
They've had it. They've gone.
I don't blame them.
So Wepu has to sort of sort out the equipment because he's now got 10 men rather than 12 men to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
While he's doing that, and you're trying to consume as much coffee as you possibly can, you get a better look at this thing. I mean, it's just, it is, in daylight, it doesn't even look that much like a tree. You know, in the dark, it kind of looked like a tree. In daylight, it's, I don't know, it's difficult to tell what exactly it is. It's kind of gray and shiny like wet rubber.
Does it kind of look like a sea creature of some sort? You know, like a sea anemone?
It looks like nothing you've ever seen before. Tree is just the nearest linguistic analog you have to something this shape is tree.
Well, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck.
Well, it looks like it might be vegetable, but then there's just something just not right about it. There's something you can't express it. There's you don't have the words to express what it is about this thing that's wrong, but something about it is just wrong.
I'm afraid that I can only look at it superficially because I don't have any kind of biology, but can the biologist look at it and see if he thinks that it's an animal, vegetable, fungus?
Well, I can try. I can try to help at least.
Well, is it not classified in any of those?
I'll make a roll for biology.
I'll try as well, I think, because I have some bio.
I got a 59 out of 75.
Yeah, I also made it. 43 out of 73.
Well, you examine this thing, and again, it's so difficult to classify it. Overall, it seems to be some form of plant life. Internally, it resembles plant life.
No, I have zoology.
It must be a plant.
Well, it's possible it doesn't qualify as any of them. It's something really weird. Especially in the fungus field, there's all sorts of weird, weird things.
You're left in examining species. It. You're left with the idea that you might be looking at an entirely new form of life.
Yeah.
An as yet undocumented form of life. This is it has elements of the vegetable, it has elements of the animal. Some components of it almost resemble marine life, but obviously it's not in a marine environment.
It might need its own kingdom.
It very well could be. Or at least its own. I don't know. It might be a precursor between plant and animal.
Well, it's
make a spot hidden.
Okay.
No, sorry. Just Dr. White.
Oh, just yeah. Dr. White.
Just the biologist. Make a spot.
I fail.
Yeah, it's really weird. Yeah.
If it helps, I did just barely make the spot hit and roll before you told me not to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll let you have that. It's just you're looking at this thing, and you're particularly taken by the outer skin of it, which, as we've said before, is very resilient. And where the top of it has been cut off, you can sort of see the edge of it, and it's not like any substance you recognize. It's soft on the inside and pliable, but the outside is immensely hard. And just with your finger and thumb, you can't get it to move, but obviously this thing was moving. So it must be mobile.
Hmm.
But you can't even work out how this stuff would bend and flex. Obviously there's no musculature, there's nothing that would seemingly do that. But whatever this substance is, and it's unlike anything you've seen, it's certainly incredibly strong, and you can't help but be struck by the fact that it may be scientifically of enormous value.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Commercially, it might be of enormous value.
It really could.
Yes, it can.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to take a sample of this material and keep it, like, maybe preserved in, like, a jar of formalin or something.
Well, I have whatever I could store in a canvas bag. I've essentially chopped off tentacles, a tooth, preserved them in a mason jar with 60% alcohol, 40% water, stirred it, placed it in there, so that way if there's no hole, it should stay there for months if the heat doesn't fuck it up. The big bulk of it I've stored in a canvas bag that I'm going to tie off to my pack. And we're just going to carry it until we reach civilization.
Well, you guys, you biologists and such, you're having a field day here, but we got to get going.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see if we can find those people.
He has a point.
Also remember that we're in unexplored territory. They may bear all sorts of biological specimens that you're going to find. I expect you will.
Right.
But that's not what our mission is at the moment. Very exciting. I'm sure it's very exciting for you.
Leaving your campsite then, and heading off further up the trail. You once more see evidence of human movement. You can see the odd footprint here and there, and certainly signs that people have moved through there before. You're definitely on the same path you were on before.
Are we continuing to climb the mountain?
It is. You're slowly ascending, yes.
Okay. Any estimates as to how far we're going to need to go? Is the mountain still thousands of feet up above us?
The mountains themselves are, yes. By the looks of it, I mean, it's only an estimate, and it's difficult to tell from down here, but a couple of thousand feet.
Well, as we're going along, I imagine we're also keeping our eyes wide open for any silver tree things.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
And I'm also looking for evidence of, like, past habitation. Have any tribes been through here recently and camped? I'd imagine they would need to camp. They can't just keep going.
Yeah. Especially if there's, like, more than 10, 15, 20 people.
whole tribe, they're going to have to find some place to sit down, eventually, at least, or rest.
Unless they were being driven.
That's driven a possibility.
Driven by who?
There are so many weird things out here in the woods. Who knows? I sort of whispered to Dr. Morton that, you know, I'm hoping you find a baby one of those things, because plants grow, so it had to come from a seed or something.
True.
Bet you there's some little ones. That thing could have been 100 years old for all we know, being that size.
That's true. At this point, we should think about finding, human interaction within the mountains, whether that be mm-hmm. temple, relics, tools, just something that proves existence up here.
I agree.
You archaeologists, you should be keeping your eyes out for any kind of a cairn or a sign or something that might...
That's what I've been doing, Pijo.
Pijo, do you have an inkling for cash? That's why you're mentioning a little one?
Well, we're always... cartographers ain't exactly the most high, well-paid people in the world. We ain't doctors like you folks.
That's...
Can we just keep moving on as I keep looking for any signs of life, past or present?
It's just conversation as we're walking along.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to snap. I'm really exhausted.
Are you telling me that if you came across a relic or something like that, that you wouldn't want to possibly sell it?
That's what I'm looking for. Yes.
I mean, not giving it to the university, but to sell it.
It's a hard call, and it depends on the size of the relic. If it's something like a temple, I can't really sell it.
No, but you can sell a location.
I suppose. If it's something small, yes, but...
In any case, how are we doing? What do we find? Is the camp following along behind us, or...?
The bearers are following along behind you. They're smoking their roll-ups, and
I'm willing to carry some of that.
Their buoyant character of that's exemplified them so far on the trip has very much left them. They look great.
Well, I'm going to go back there and at least help carry some of this shit.
Who's carrying the tree thing?
The top. I am in a canvas bag. Sharon is also carrying some samples with her as well.
I have a sample of the tooth. I've got a sample of like the piece of the bark and the core, as much as I could get.
Okay. I mean, the top of it is quite big. It's quite heavy.
Yeah. So which is why I've tied it to my pack. So I'm probably sticking to the back. I don't want to slow anybody down.
We can take turns carrying it if you need. I'm a big guy.
Sure. That'd be fun.
It's your sample.
I'd like everyone to make a spot hidden, please.
Oh, I spot that hidden.
50. What is 50? Spot hidden.
Made it.
Yeah, I made it.
Did I make it? I don't even know.
Made it by 15.
I got an extreme. I got a 0-3.
Okay. Well, those of you who just made it a normal success.
I made it hard.
You can see what at first looks like a metallic glint,
huh,
or possibly For a moment, you even think it might be like a mirror or something, reflecting from further up the mountain. But Dr. White, to you, it's you catch it at a slightly different angle.
Okay.
You just glance at it. You see the same thing that's glinting. But for a moment, you just see it through the trees at a slightly different angle, and it almost looks like the top of a cone. It's like a point. Like the nose of an aircraft, almost.
Huh.
I mentioned to him, like, hey, do you guys see that?
See what? And I kind of try to get over at his angle.
It's just sort of poking just above the tree line. About
binoculars.
Yeah.
You don't see it?
About 120 feet above you, up the mountain.
Made Corey go insane.
Yeah. I'll pull out my binoculars and try to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to see because of the tree cover. And you're just getting an occasional glimpse as the wind blows the trees. But it does look very much as though there's some kind of dull metal cone, the point of a cone.
There's almost something up there.
Well, Dr. Chase, maybe we found you a temple.
Maybe we did. Yeah. And I start getting really excited now. Gotta get closer.
Make sure my shotgun's loaded.
Yeah.
Same with my rifle.
Now we're going to have to do a couple of switchbacks to get up to it, or is that where we're going?
It's roughly in the direction where you're going.
Okay. We're getting closer.
You're not absolutely, I mean, you don't know where this trail is going to lead you, but the direction of the trail is heading roughly in that direction. And you can see that there's an incline up ahead that seems to be quite well trod, that heads towards it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I assume we keep going, me with a renewed vigor, because I'm excited.
Okay.
Could be completely undiscovered civilization living out here, something like the Mayans or the Inca or something.
Minutes up the trail. Can someone give me a listen roll?
Sure. No.
Whatever it is, I don't hear it.
I'm not going to make
it. Apparently, I got that, whatever that thing is apparently giving me superpowers because I got another extreme at 06.
Okay. Having recently rather violently had all the earwax cleaned out of your ears,
Seems more likely that he's just extremely skittish about everything.
Yeah, just off the side of the path. Well, it's not even really a path. It's just a trail that's been trodden down. Just off to the right, kind of right on the edge, looking out over the mountain, you can hear quite a loud buzzing.
Do you guys hear that?
Like an insect?
I didn't hear it earlier, but I hear it now that you're pointing it out, yes.
I don't hear anything.
Well, be careful. There sounds could be a hornet's nest or something.
Yeah. You know, I hear tell down in Brazil, they have those, they're called warrior wasps or something like that, and they beat their wings against their nest, and it makes a really loud noise. Maybe, and they're big.
Well, there's some big old wasps right there in the heart of Texas that are some nasty things. Hornets, we call
aggressive
them.
Too.
Yellow jackets.
When I was in Japan, they have them this big.
No.
They can kill a man with one sting.
Well, in Texas, they're this big.
And they've got a gun.
<Their arm. laughs>
Well, okay, well, what are you doing then?
Staying Dr. away White? From.
I'll be like, if anyone wants to follow, let's go this direction.
We'll go carefully. Make sure if it is like a big old hornet's nest, we don't spook them.
You know, I hang back and I stay kind of very, very calm and stay and make sure I'm not doing anything to rile up the nest. And if I hear the sound of like angry buzzing, I'm turning tail and running. I am not going to get stung by no wasps.
You don't have to go too far off the path. I mean, who's in front?
I'm ridiculously curious.
Okay, well you're the front, and kind of relieved and a little bit appalled when you push through some foliage and you realize that this buzzing it's not hornets, it's flies. It's a lot of flies.
Oh. Is there something dead?
You can that familiar smell of death is on the air. There's a kind of irony smell.
Folks, we may have found something. It's not hornets, it's flies, and I think there's something dead right up ahead.
I can smell it, Pedro.
Do we see the flies right now? Like, can we actually see them?
Can we see what the flies are on?
Because I have entomology, I can tell whether they're what kind of fly they are.
You can certainly see that the flies are in, as you move further in, the flies are increasingly, there's an increasing density of flies. And from the noise, you can tell that whatever it is the flies were attracted by is about 3 or 4 feet away from you in the undergrowth.
Oh.
There's a tree, a normal tree.
Oh, thank God.
A normal tree. And the flies seem to be concentrating around that tree. It's quite a lot of flies on the tree as well.
What does this... What's this smell like? Or is it the same smell as what I smell like?
Horrible.
When you were a kid, you have a very vivid memory of going out to play in the fields one day. And as you were riding past on your bicycle with your friends, you smelt this horrible, horrible smell and looked in the ditch, and there was a dead dog that had crawled into the ditch and died. And it's that same smell that you can smell now, that same horrible, familiar smell of death.
On the tree?
It's the smell of death. Dead things in hot weather. That's what you can smell.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm brave and I dig up the dead things. I might as well go poke it with a stick, see if it's a human or what it is.
Okay. It doesn't take any effort for you to find this thing. And it's clearly, it's a human body.
It's a person.
It's a human body.
Sanity loss?
I think there will be in a minute, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment you can just see, you can see the feet, the legs.
Oh no!
Sort of sticking out of the undergrowth. You can quite easily work out that the head is obviously at the other end, at the tree where the flies are buzzing about.
It's not a silver bark tree.
No, it's the normal tree.
A normal tree.
Weird. You
should still set it on fire. Just joking.
Is it just the one dead body?
You can only see one dead body, yes.
Guys? Someone died over here.
Yeah, we're all here looking at it.
Okay, I didn't know how far back they were.
Holding our noses. Oh.
Yeah, this is not a fresh corpse. It's been here for a few days at least.
In this weather, too. Oh boy.
If we kind of shoo the flies away, does it look like it was a victim of predation? Did something kill it?
It's probably too rotten to tell.
Well, when you flap a something, I don't know, anything.
A big leaf.
Yeah, flap a big leaf or something and then brush the flies away. The first thing that strikes you is that there's quite a substantial amount of blood actually on the tree. About 5.5 feet up the tree, there's a lot of blood.
Even before you
examine the body.
Do you think the person was flung at the tree and they hit the tree and it killed them and they splattered a little?
That's got to be what happened. You don't think one of those silvery tree things threw him?
Well, we fought with one last night. It could have.
Yeah.
Oh, God. My immediate thought is this one of the bearers that ran off?
He would have run the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, bears even without any medical knowledge at all, you can tell that this body has been there for more than one night.
Okay.
You probably see this, but does it look like adult or a kid or just by like the...
Well, nope.
Are you going to examine it?
Well, I just want to look at it like from the distance.
As you can see, as best you can see, it looks like an adult male.
Okay.
I just failed a constitution roll, so I'm like, I'm going to walk away. Oh.
I feel fine.
I'm sorry, I need to leave. Oh, God.
Okay, well, Dr. White, are you going to examine it?
Yeah, let the biologist look.
Yeah, and you're a biologist, you've got...
I'm not...
expertise.
I'm not gonna touch it. I'm gonna also try and like stand, try and get as close as I can to look at it, but I'm not gonna be close because the last time that happened to me,
I say to Arthur standing next to me, I say, if he pulls out a knife and tries to carve his initials in it, let's run for our lives.
Hey. I chuckle. And I load my gun just in case.
I'm over in the bushes trying to get some fresh air right now.
Did I heal any hit points from the night and the day before?
No, you haven't slept. You got one hit point back from the first aid, but at the moment you're just running on coffee. You're just coffee and adrenaline is what's keeping you going. You haven't had a chance to rest or to recuperate.
Yeah, I'm not going close.
I mean, all you can see, without turning the body over, you can see that it's someone lying on the left side, with their face down in the ground, One arm is limply splayed out. The right arm is limply splayed out by the side. And there is a great deal of dried blood around the head area. Not only on the body, but also on the ground as well. Primarily that's been attracting the flies.
Okay. That sounds good.
What happened to him, Dr. White?
I'm not as close as I want to be look at it, but it does not look good.
Well, was our theory right? Do you think he got thrown there?
It's hard to say.
Is there any sign right around here that there was a struggle?
Make a spot hidden roll.
37. What is that? Spot hidden.
I also notice it.
It's actually, it's not quite hard, but it's almost hard.
Yeah, I would also notice it.
There's signs of disturbance in the undergrowth as though someone had walked in here alone. It ends at the tree, then there's some disturbance with a few things, as though someone had just walked up to the tree and then at some point had fallen over. That's all you're getting from there. Like, there's a trail going in, and then there's signs of some movement around the tree, and then there's a body. There's no sign of anyone else.
Something that we forgot to go back to was, we had asked about in the morning if there was a trail that the Yatevo had followed or to move into our camp. Was there?
You were able to find... if anyone's got a tracking roll.
Nope.
No. I'm just going to suggest looking for the same kind of a trail.
There were signs, you could see vague signs of broken plants. As though something, a big thing like a walking tree, had pushed its way past things.
So is there any sign of anything like that here?
No.
Same kind of trail? Okay.
No. There's no disturbance other than this track, roughly parallel to the way you came in.
So it looks like the person walked up to the tree and then kind of exploded?
That's what it seems like.
Weird.
Clearly this is someone from that. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, there's just so many things we don't know about this area.
I'm sure there's nothing in this jungle that could cause someone's head to explode.
Well, I'm thinking something like a bear could pick somebody up and fling them as it's fighting with them, but it would have probably eaten the man. Does the man look like he's been eaten at all? Big gigantic chunks of meat missing?
Last I saw, he was too rotten for me to tell.
From what you can see, you can't actually see any injuries at all from the way he's lying.
Okay.
He's face down in the ground. And there's blood around the head and blood on the tree, but you can't actually, you would assume the injuries are on the head because that's where the blood is. But you can't actually see any injuries.
I am going to try very hard not to throw up, but I'm going to try to drag him out into the open.
Okay.
Maybe flip him over. I'm going to try not, do my best to shield myself against touching his dead body.
Give me another constitution roll.
Oh, I got a 22 that time, so I'm...
Okay, I mean, it's hard going, but you just about manage it. You're helped by the fact that you haven't really eaten much today. You're mainly just running on coffee, and there's not really much to throw up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you probably would. But you drag the body onto a bit of clearer ground. And turn him over. And you can see there's a lot of damage to the forehead and the brows, mainly around this area of the head.
As if somebody bashed his head in?
It looks like his head has been bashed in. Yeah.
Wepu, do they have any kind of human sacrifice, some of these people? Are they headhunters, or?
No, they're not. That's the Highlanders on the other side.
The other side of the whole island, huh?
Yeah, not up here. These people, they're quite peaceful. They're all farmers around here.
All right, I'm going to leave it to the biologists at this point because I don't want to look at this.
Well, my best guess is maybe they went back to some old tribal belief. Maybe there was a really old precedent for human sacrifice or maybe self-sacrifice. But if that's the case, how did it get 5-10 feet up the tree?
Does it look like splatter?
The blood is about 5 feet up the tree. Which, make an idea roll. Someone make an idea roll.
I'll let the biologists do that.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I make it.
Yeah, it occurs to you that the blood, looking at the size of the body and the size of the tree, the blood is pretty much at head height.
He bashed his own head in.
Is that even possible? To inflict that kind of damage on oneself?
I don't know, but if
maybe
it is,
wasn't alone.
He was desperate.
Wait a second. I'm really misunderstanding. I think what you said, the blood is about 5 feet up.
Yes.
Like that's just regular height. If he ran at the tree and bashed his own head in, that would be right where the blood would be. It's not like up in the tree. It's right in front of us.
Head down and ran head first into it.
Maybe. Are there parasites? We'll see. I'm sorry. I don't want to do the biology part. You guys do the biology part.
Could possess a man to bash his own head in. I'm just trying to figure this out and think on this, and I'm like, I'm completely at a loss. Maybe he went crazy or something.
Okay, you want me to roll a biology roll, see what's up?
Okay.
I mean, I did make a biology roll, if that helps.
Well, there's a lot of...
I failed. You
failed it. Dr. Chase, there's a lot of fly eggs. there's a lot of fly eggs. There's a lot of quite recent maggots. It's obviously attracted a great deal of flies. You can see that. But it does seem that a lot of the superficial damage was caused by being eaten by insects and parasites. From what you can tell, it was entirely just blunt force trauma.
He bashed his head in. I'm telling you, he bashed his head in. Oh, God.
Well, if you say so. How far along in the day are we at this point?
It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I would say that, I mean, from a constitution, without even having to make a constitution roll, the longer you spend around this thing, you know, the more potent the smell becomes, especially since the body's been turned over.
Oh, we should bury it if there's nothing. We'll bury the poor guy if there's nothing to glean from looking at him anymore. Or walk away and let nature take its course. It is the jungle.
At this point, I don't think it would do much good. He'd probably fall apart in our hands.
Ew. Well, let's just move on.
Move on. Find some place to camp. Try to forget we saw this.
Well, let's camp with it out of
yeah
smell.
Away from the body. Well, away from the body.
The bearers are smoking more heavily than usual.
All right.
How do the bears feel about it? Is burying like a Western thing, or is this? Does this upset the bears at all?
Well, actually, if Dr. If Arthur wants to give us an anthropology role,
I can. What is my anthropology? I'm all set. I got a 50, so it's a pass.
Okay, yeah. Dr. Morton. Can fill you in on that, and he would inform you that for most of the tribes in this part of the world, they tend to practice sort of ritual mummification. Although some of them are endo-cannibals, so they actually consume their dead. But even the most depraved endo-cannibalistic culture would, I think, not be willing to consume this corpse in the state that it's in.
Yeah.
I tend to want to default to how the bears would want to treat this body. Like, I want to try to, like, give them the respect that they deserve.
They don't want anything to do with it.
Then that's fine by me, too. Let's go.
I agree. Let's go.
Yeah, you don't want to push any of our Western.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Push on them.
So I want to make them understand that we're on their side. So as I say, I'm helping them carry shit, but I'm also giving them a reassured, you know, slap on the shoulder, which may be a Western thing, but I think they probably understand what we're doing.
You get the feeling that they seem to be happier when they're moving.
Yeah.
They don't particularly want to be hanging around near any of these things. Mm-hmm. They really don't seem to like the idea that Dr. Morton has taken a bit of this thing with him. Mm. But I mean, they're not sort of mutinying or anything like that.
They're not generally a violent people, are they?
No. Right. Jack, though, when you're walking along with Wepu, he mentions it, and he says that the reason they don't want to bury him is the reason they don't want to perform a funeral rite for him is because he's not part of their people. It's to do with ancestors, he says. It's a way of honoring your ancestors, and they don't know who he is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that, you know, mm-hmm. and you find a, if you find a dead person in the bush, you don't have anything to do with them because the ghost might follow you home.
That leads me to my next question, which was, is there, like, do the individual tribes, like, do they identify themselves in any way physically? Like, is there any way that we would know that gentleman was the part of the tribe that escaped the camp, or, you know what I mean, like the one of the ones that fled the empty camp?
Well, normally people would wear a different headdress or a nambas, like a penis cord. Or some of them wear rope belts or vine belts or things. But this body was completely naked.
Okay.
And he wasn't wearing anything, which is unusual because the people, I mean, for example, the penis cord is there to protect you against things like insect bites and stuff. I mean, obviously it's quite a large, long gourd, and it's become ritualized, but it's nonetheless, it has a basic protective purpose. But he was wearing nothing. No jewelry, nothing.
Hmm. Which would then be considered unusual.
It's odd in and of itself.
Yeah, okay.
So continuing on.
To the Silver Dome?
It's a bit further than you can reach in one day, but as the light's going to be going soon, you strike camp. The evening is largely uneventful. The sun goes down, it starts getting dark. You notice that the bearers are just smoking, and they're not really chit-chatting or mucking about in the way that they have been previously. Before, they've just been treating it as a bit of a laugh and a joke, and you got the feeling that they were just relaxing after a hard day of carrying packs about, but now they're just strangely subdued. You know, they're no one else has gone missing, but their exuberance is gone. Even Wepu now is starting to look a little bit concerned. You know, when questioned about it, he'll tell you that he's fine, everything's fine. I'm fine, the boys are fine, everything's okay. But you can see that very clearly that they're doing a very bad job of hiding their feelings, that they are really not happy. Despite that, however, the evening is uneventful. Nothing else wanders into your camp. Some of the bearers take it in turns to keep watch. Nothing happens. And in the morning, their mood has improved a little. They seem to be expecting something bad to happen again, but nothing happened that night. And
okay,
just a tiny bit more relaxed, perhaps. So after breakfast, you're able to push on up the hill.
Okay.
Up we go.
It's quite heavy going. It gets quite steep after a while. And the foliage closes in on either side. About 11 o'clock in the morning, you reach a small clearing. At which point, I'd like you all to make a spot hidden roll.
Ooh, 5.
Oh, yeah, I hard make it.
I oddly, well, eight.
Fail, no.
I think, just give me a second here. I got 13 out of 6. Actually, I just make it, so.
I shouldn't have used my new dice. No more new dice. There we go.
The bearers have a sit down, and they're having a smoke, as usual. And you, for want of anything else to do, you start just sort of absent-mindedly looking around this clearing. And a lump comes to your throat as you realize the three of you who made the roll. Dotted around the clearing in the undergrowth, you can see what appear to be three more of the same tree-like things that came into your camp the previous night.
There, and there. See that?
Jesus Christ, not again.
I gripped my rifle.
Are they as big as?
They're roughly the same size or slightly larger.
Wonderful.
We just avoid them. It won't be a problem.
Let's stay away from them.
Yeah, as long as we keep Dr. White away from them, we'll be fine.
I grip my rifle a little tighter. Shotgun, sorry.
Yeah.
We just get up to the dome, we see what's in it, and we leave.
I agree. I'm going to move around these trees.
Well, the thing is that the trees, where you've come into this clearing, you're sort of roughly in the middle of the clearing. The three tree things that you can see are on the side that you came in from. Literally, two of them, you walked between two of them to get in.
Oh, Jesus.
No, that's a good thing, though. If we walk through them, we can walk back through them.
Okay.
Like I said, they only react if harm is brought to them, it seems like. It stood there for a good solid 5 minutes when I was awake. Didn't walk in, it didn't attack me. It only attacked as soon as Dr. White came up with the knife.
Hey, I was curious, okay?
Okay, no guys. Carving your initials into it.
Let's just keep moving past these things.
Keep our eyes on it. Now, it might be feeling for vibrations. I don't know how it senses.
Besides, we took down one with a man who ran away and a man that was acting crazy. If all of us go after one, it'll be done. No problem.
And, and a man inside the tree, too.
Yeah, you might want to talk to Dr. White about our success.
Yeah. I don't think we can take three at once, guys.
I think that we should just leave them alone.
Well, we still have our gasoline.
Let's keep going.
We didn't actually try that last time.
Let's keep going.
Let's not ignore them. Let's keep an eye on them.
Right, absolutely.
I agree.
Okay. There's a question. If they, what's attracting them? Could it be the light from the central fire? Could it be the smell of us?
It could be the smell of the dead guy, the dead tree.
Well, then they would have gone over there. But
yeah, I wouldn't go swinging.
Why did they come? Why did they come to our camp over there, and now they've come to our camp here? There's something here that's attracting them. It's got to be either the fire or our smell. I'd say it's maybe our smell, because if they're predators, albeit passive predators until they're within grabbing distance.
Mick, can I ask you a question? What is the sound of the forest? Is there birds chirping? Is it just silent?
You can hear the kind of background noise of insects, but no, you can't hear any birds.
Are there any primates on this island? Monkeys?
Haven't seen any.
Not in this area. So it just maybe they're nomadic. They move and then something lands on it and then it just snaps it. Right. Like a fly trap.
It waits until something comes up underneath it and it grabs it. Yeah.
Yes.
So we just I think that it's not that they're following us. There happens to be three of them here. But someone should stay up if we do move past here and we find one in our camp. Someone needs to be on watch.
The bearers are going to need to be on watch, and they have been.
Well, have you ever seen this little insect? It's called a praying mantis.
I've seen
one. I know what you're talking about.
If you watch one of these things hunting for insects, it moves like the wind is blowing a leaf. Moves slowly, takes a little bit of a step each time, gets a little closer until it's close enough, and then it grabs. So that's my guess, is that these trees also, they sense something, they sense our smell or something, and they slowly, slowly move in.
Pijo, stop. Pijo, I don't want to think about this. Can we please all just move on and keep an eye on the trees? Please.
Just keep an eye on them.
Okay, right. So what are you doing then?
I'm trying to get the party to move away from this area and get away from the trees so we can keep going.
Well, yeah, we got to keep going.
Okay. You reach the edge of the clearing. Heading towards, you can quite clearly see the point of this cone from where you are. It's maybe 80 yards away. And as you get to the edge of the clearing, you turn around to check on these trees. And you can quite clearly see them on the other side of the clearing, walking towards you.
Oh, shit.
And on that note, we will end this week's session.
Excellent.
We're going to get fucking caught by trees.
So they're coming up behind us,
surrounding us.
All right. Our players included Jen Coulter, Corey Heisted, Sean Little, Thomas McKeon, Jeff Wilkins, and myself. With Mick Swan as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Birch Run Primal Drive, was composed by our good friend Kevin McLeod and is used royalty-free under a Creative Commons Attribution License. We currently are producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our show free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. If you'd like to help us continue our show, you can visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help us out a lot. like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. You'll find links to everything I mentioned in the description below. This is Tom Rayleigh, and together with all of the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once into the... Boy, I just can't read today. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the other members of the game... Oh my God, what the hell? Sorry. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming group, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.